Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 16th of July. This is better news for some people than others, I think. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, hey. Happy Friday, everyone.
Indeed. Now, as you know, because it's Friday and I have Andrew with me, that can only mean one thing. Security Friday. And we're here to give you the latest. We've got a little bit of old business, a little bit of new business, and some not future prediction, but some future news we can talk about, which is something that's coming for people who aren't yet running iOS 15. So let's go ahead and start with old business. And Andrew, we have sort of an update, I guess, or an evolution of a story that we've talked about previously.
Yes. So this this update is from Ars Technica. And last year, there was this, so Russian state hackers, this kind of group, if you've ever heard of the SolarWinds attack, this group was behind that. It was a supply chain attack. It affected a lot of companies. I think the number off the top of my head was around 18,000.
It was a lot. Yes.
Yes. So they're back, or they were back. Oh. So Ars Technica writes that they have exploited an iOS 0 day as part of a different attack. It's a malicious email campaign aimed at stealing authentication credentials from Western European governments, according to both Google and Microsoft. So Google had their own blog post published on Wednesday where they talked about this. Microsoft, back in May, they were closely tracking a different campaign. So first of all, in Microsoft's campaign, they saw that this group managed to compromise an account belonging to USAID. And they, with control of this agency's account for a online marketing company, Constant Contact, the hackers were able to send emails that appeared to use addresses known to belong to the U.S. agency. And backing up in this zero-day campaign, so this flaw is being tracked as CVE-2021-1879.
What a catchy name they've given that. I'm really glad.
Right. This one redirected users to domains that then installed malicious payloads on fully updated iPhones. That's the scary thing.
Yeah,
they don't say what fully updated means, but I'm assuming maybe I was 13 or 14 at this point. So the iOS 0 day attack coincided with that that Windows user attack. So it sounds like, you know, there was two different attacks going on that may have been by the same group, it sounds like.
Okay.
Let's see. The government attributed the SolarWinds attack to Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service group, abbreviated as SVR.
Yep.
So they've been attacking companies through cyber attacks and governments for Ars Technica rights more than a decade.
Yeah. Super great. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, this is the group known as Cozy Bear.
Yeah, so we remember them.
Yeah.
I guess we'd have to air quote, but they are friends of the show. we've definitely had that conversation, so that's an interesting one. So that's some old business, because like I said, we've talked about them before. Now we have a little bit of new business, and that comes in the form of a Firefox update.
Right. So this is actually another article from Ars Technica. Mozilla recently launched Firefox 90 update for users. It includes a couple of different things, but the privacy aspect to it is an update to a feature called Smart Block. So this new version, Smart Block 2.0, they write, it makes it easier for users to keep their tracking protection settings cranked up without breaking individual websites. Now, interestingly, although not surprisingly, they write the updated version seems to especially target Facebook logins. Now, so the update, it kind of makes it easier to do the thing you want without having to tweak your settings. So okay. They write, with SmartBlock 2.0, Facebook scripts are disabled on third-party sites, just as before. Okay. However, when the user clicks the Continue with Facebook option, that specific user interaction with the script causes SmartBlock 2.0 to unblock it.
Okay.
So it says the unblocking happens just in time to allow this authentication login to succeed, and you don't have to touch or dial down your protection settings.
Now, I do like that. And the way they characterized it was that the new one makes it easier for users to keep the settings up, but not break individual websites. And that's the thing that I've noticed in varying degrees as I sort of disable different things, is that big pieces of websites just don't load anymore, that kind of thing. So it's nice to see that that's something that they're sort of aware of and working on. And I like that if you do want to use login with Facebook, at least you have an option for that, and that it's treated very transactionally, so nobody has to give that up if that's a thing that they're using for certain stuff, and you can keep going with it. So that's decent. I appreciate things like that make it easier to have good security, but it doesn't necessarily make the rest of your life super complicated if you decide that's what you want to do. So
yeah, and what I like about SmartBlock is, you know, there are so many different kinds of third-party plugins you can add to Mozilla.
Yeah,
SmartBlock is built in, so you don't really even have to think about it.
Yeah, it's a thing you can use right out of the box, so to speak, and it's very handy that it's just part of the app itself, and you don't have to worry about what you're going to do, you know, what you have to install, or if it's going to conflict with anything else, because it all just works within Firefox, which is very, very handy. So I like that a lot. So that's it for sort of the newsy stuff. And now we have an interesting feature that's coming to iOS 15 specifically, and that is another of the updates to the keychain manager, or iCloud keychain, I guess it would be, where you can do even more stuff with the passwords that you store there.
Yes. So we talk pretty often about password managers on here. One of them is iCloud keychain. And as we've said before, it's iCloud keychain, or let's back up, the best manager that you use is the one that's already built into your device.
Yep.
And I pointed this out in my tip. Best doesn't necessarily mean it has all the latest and greatest features. It's just, it's already there. There's no friction. You don't have to download anything. You just have to just start using it.
Yeah. As we always say, like, you should have a password manager. There's one built in, and using that is better than using nothing. So maybe your use case changes over time, whatever. But if nothing else, you can start with the basics by outsourcing that password remembering part of your brain to your phone, where they all need to be anyway, and they're stored safely and all of that, and we're not going to bore you with the details of it, but the best password manager to have is the one that you actually use. So use one, you have it, and it's about to get better, and Andrew's going to tell us how.
So the update to iCloud keychain that is coming in iOS 15 is the ability to not only store your passwords, but also your two-factor authentication codes right within iCloud keychain. So, you know, as I also pointed out, for the ultimate security, you probably don't want to do this. If you're really serious, it's probably best to use a third-party authentication app. Yes. Just because if someone does get a hold of your phone, they will also have to know this password for the separate app.
Right.
Because if it's built into iCloud keychain, that's great, but also bad because, you know, with that login access, a person can just, you know, it's all there waiting for them, basically.
Yeah, it's not really a second factor if it's all in the same place. However, this is definitely a lot better if the second factor is, we're going to text you a 6-digit number. This is definitely an upgrade to that, because text messages are easily stolen, and we've talked about that here on the show. So if that's your primary, if that's your primary two-factor setup is I just wait for the website to text me a number that I enter, you should definitely upgrade to this, because this will definitely make that easier and safer for you to use. And it's not any more complicated than getting a text. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah, that's a great thing. It's super simple. So yeah, ultimately, I still think this is a good move by Apple. And through this tip, I just walk you through where to go. You just go to settings and passwords like you usually do. And if you tap on a certain account that offers two-factor authentication, so you'll have to kind of do a little bit of legwork. Go to the individual websites, your logins website settings to figure out if they do offer this or not. And if they do, then you will have two options in your iPhone or iPad. One is called change password on website So setting up a verification code, you can either copy and paste this special string of characters when you're setting it up on the website, or this is the easiest and faster method. You can use the camera to just scan the QR code, and it'll just automatically update with that special code. And what it looks like is a 2FA code is, it's a 6-digit number, but it changes every 30 seconds. So that's the security part of it.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. And this is another one of those cases where it makes it very easy to be more secure. And that's always a good thing. So if you don't have any sort of in-depth needs for password management, and maybe you don't, then particularly like if you're not carrying a lot of stuff around on your iPhone or anything, you don't really have to worry about it, then it's totally fine. Like, absolutely do this. And if you have a password manager, you know, you still may want to set up some things like this. I know for some things it's easier to use iCloud Keychain to set things up than it is sometimes to use an external password manager. So that's a nice option as well, because at least then you can do it reasonably securely. So that'll be good. Mm-hmm. Now, next up, we have another iOS 15 feature, and this is related to today's practical tip. So Andrew, I'm going to have you talk to us about the other thing that you can set up in iOS 15 that's going to be super useful to people.
Yeah, I think this is another good feature. So in the past, we've talked about backing up your data. And, you know, the general advice is have a local backup, have maybe a backup in the cloud, and then have an offsite backup, or at least another local backup on a separate drive, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think this kind of relates to data backups. It's, you want to know what happens to your data in the case of an emergency. But also, something else you should think about is what happens to your data if you die? Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it happens to everyone. And maybe you're someone who, you know, when you die, so does your data. That's it. No one else has access to it.
Yeah.
Or maybe you do want to pass on things to your friends and family members. Mm-hmm. So with iOS 15, Apple is introducing a digital legacy program. You can also find this in settings, and you can set up what's called a legacy contact. I think you can set up multiple ones. I'm going to write this tip up later today. But when you set up a legacy contact, that means that I'm assuming, you know, you still have to send Apple a certificate of death. But once they get that information, they have access to your iCloud data, all your photos, all your maybe contacts, notes, something like that, I guess. I'm actually not sure how much data is included, but it sounds like maybe everything in your iCloud account.
Yeah, that would be good. I would like very much if it were passwords, because if you could at least get into iCloud Keychain, I know that tends to be a thing that a lot of people have trouble with, especially if you're dealing with a legacy situation like this. And so we went and looked. We did a little bit of homework before the show. We do prep for this podcast. I promise we do. And LastPass has something called emergency contact. And with emergency contact from LastPass, you can set up, well, it's called emergency access. And what happens is somebody requests access, and then there's a certain amount of time that you choose, and you are notified within that window, and you can say yes or no. That person, you can say no, that person can't do it. And if they send the request and there's no answer, then the emergency access user will be able to get into your vault. Now, I think it's only available on certain accounts. Like, you probably have to have family access or something like that. But you have to invite someone to do this. I know it does have to be a paid account, but I don't remember if there's a level of paid at LastPass that you need to worry about. But it's a very nice feature to have that LastPass has. And Andrew, you said Bitwarden has a similar sort of thing, if I recall.
Yeah, so I dug into this a little bit too. This is also for Bitwarden premium users, and it lets you assign a trusted emergency contact permission to access your vault data. Now, they have a website and they explain how it works. I think it's kind of interesting the way it happens when it comes to, like, it's end-to-end encrypted, so it has to do with your public and private keys and mm-hmm. how those things are transferred. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Now, off the top of my head, I do know Google also has something like this. I think it's called something like Inactive Account Manager, mm-hmm. where you can release control of your account to whatever person you want after a certain period of time. I know also that Facebook, maybe Twitter, also have legacy contact thing as well. So, yeah,
I know Facebook, you can designate someone and then your account becomes a legacy account, which is a different thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Twitter. I don't remember. And I know the Google one, there's some sort of setting that you can change so that if something happens, then yeah, you do have that option with the Google one. But for all of these, it's generally a thing that you explicitly have to go in and set up on your account and say, yes, this is okay, and this is who.
Yeah.
So that's the part that matters. And it's just a matter of taking a minute and doing that and then moving on with your day, because it's definitely a thing that needs to happen, and it will make things a lot easier for everyone else going forward. Mm-hmm. The last one of those I want to mention is 1Password has the emergency kit, which is a PDF that you can download, and you can either print it out or you can fill it in and then save it securely somewhere, and just make sure you've got the basic information on it about your account. If you have 1Password for Families, which is the subscription option where you share with other people, you can always just make sure that there's more than one administrator on that account. And then that way, if something happens, then there's always someone that has full access to everything else. And that's always good to have too. So definitely make sure those are things that are happening. And hopefully that is not a story that causes you to lose sleep, like sometimes we report on here.
So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I also wanted to thank Jeff, who wrote in and asked us about legacy contact specifically, to make sure that it was something that we covered, because running the public beta was something that he came into and wanted to let us know about, that we should mm-hmm. dig into a little bit. So thanks, Jeff. If you have a tip like that, you can always get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. As always, Andrew, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Indeed. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.